Well, welcome. I guess this is supposed to be hosting tonight on fatherheart.tv. And so I'm, you know, I guess I'm doing the welcome, but we are on a Father to You as the main page. But alas, we're here, right, Mark?
We had technical problems right up till the last minute, and then we had an idea, and here we are.
Well, Mark had the idea. I said, we've been texting back and forth, trying different things to get on, and I just said, Mark, I don't know what to do. And then he said, well, why don't we just try this? And it worked, and here we are. So, and so are you.
Yes. But of course, tonight is a big night. I mean, there's a small matter of a football match going on tonight, which is England versus Denmark. Nice to see a few Danish friends with us tonight, and we cheer you on as I hope you're cheering us on. But we do want, I'm not a football fan, but I would be very happy if England won. So there is a small matter of the football, but the most important thing is tonight is the end of Barry and I doing this for 11 years, which has got to be far more important than a European Cup semi-final between England and Denmark. Comments on a postcard, please.
Well, it's that's how we feel anyway. I'm not sure about our many of our friends in Europe and in the UK feel, but we're here, and I know some friends said that they're going to watch the game tonight, and they're going to watch the broadcast tomorrow. I think we can give everybody a pass, don't you think, mate?
I think we can give them a pass, yes. I think we can let them off. And yeah, it's nice to see we have a few Danish flags in the comments. So, you know,
yes,
you guys are all welcome. Well, everyone's welcome. And if you've got the television on in the corner, that's fine.
So this is it, mate. This is, of course, there'll be a 12th year starting in September, but this is our last broadcast for the summer. And we've really, in essence, completed 11 years doing this. Crazy, isn't it?
Crazy days, eh? It was 11 years ago that I was over in Canada visiting you and the family, and we hatched the plot. You hatched the plot.
Yeah. Well, we hatched the plot. It's always been a dynamic duo. So it's kind of appropriate in one sense that, you know, right up to the last minute of going live, you know, we can't go live and we have technical issues, even though, you know, things have come a long way from those early days of the webcast. But we're, you know, again, and as usual, that, you know, we love will find a way, and you know, my dear friend Mark is very resourceful, and he had the right combination. So here we are.
And just to say, folks, we will be starting again in September. The 8th of September is when we kick off again. I think that's right, Barry, isn't it? The 8th.
Yeah.
So we'll be back on the 8th of September. Same time, same
and
place, as they say.
And as you said last week, that anybody who, if you miss us, you can feel free to access the archives. We've got, I've probably got a little bit more of the archives because of technological changes and everything else. But I think I've got archives stuff back to 2012, 2013. So not that anybody wants to go back that far, but if you want to see, you know, how much gray hair Mark and I have now compared to when we were youngins, you know, over 10 years ago, you could do before and after.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, 11 years, you know, you kind of think, where's the time gone, eh?
Oh my, it's just crazy. And of course, with everything that we've done with these webcasts, who would have thought that we'd be at the place where we've been in the last 15 months, where this is really the only means of really connecting with people, certainly around the world. So here we are. Yeah. But hopefully we're going to get back to normal, Lord willing, as far as being able to see people face to face. And Canada is still locked down. Like we, as far as the not being able to have any international travel, or but hopefully that'll change soon. You guys are starting to open up a bit, right?
Yeah, apparently on the 19th, we're going to kind of we're just going to go for it and see what happens. we're going to be able to sing in church. Social distancing is going. Masks are going. You know, the whole lot of stuff is going. And they reckon that is going to create a peak, but the numbers are rising. But it seems, I was talking to someone the other day, the people who seem to be catching it at the moment are younger and only getting it only for 24 hours or something. So more people, but seems to be less severe. So they announced yesterday that they hope to be able to go for unlocking pretty much everything. But, it, you know, it's a week away. It could all change.
Yes, yes. And, of course, you guys are, you know, ahead of us as far as, in many ways, you know, as far as this pandemic goes. But hopefully we'll get there at some point, too. You've got a seminar series coming up, right?
Yeah.
In September. Can you maybe mention that?
Yeah, sure. So September, 13th of September to the 15th of September, Monday to Wednesday, I'm doing another series of seminars with Trevor Galpin, and it's called Encounter the Father's Love. It's going to be in the... can't remember what time it's going to be. I think it's in the evening UK time and in the afternoon East Coast America. But all of the details, including the times, are fathertoyou.com/encounter. And many of you guys may have done this series with Trevor and myself before. You're really welcome, of course, to come back and join us. But why not recommend it to your friends or people who might be interested? You know, people who've been sort of sounding you out. What's this about the Father? What's this about the Father's love? And, you know, just if they want to experience more and have the encounter that many of us have had and go on having, point them to the website, fathertoyou.com/encounter. And, you know, they'd be very welcome to join us. Over the 3 days, we're going to look at some of the fundamental topics of where we can really encounter love. But I believe that, and Trevor believes too, that we take it beyond the encounter. We take it into the experience and living in the experience of being loved. So come and join us. We'd love to have you. Go to the website. There's a booking form there. Feel free to sign up, and you'll get more information about that as we get nearer the start date. So there we go.
There we go. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, apart from the virus and technology and football, it is a little bit...
Yeah. We've covered quite a bit already.
It's a little bit glitchy tonight, Barry. I'm just wondering if the internet is being drained because the whole continent of Europe is watching football. So we might have some challenges, but we're gonna carry on and do our best, eh?
Yes, absolutely. And if you find when I'm talking or anything, and if I'm stuttering or stopping, just come on and kick me off. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So I guess we just really want to explore tonight a little bit of the heart cry, you know, show us the Father. And Barry's just going to kick that off. And we're just going to see where it goes. Can I just pray for you, Barry?
I was going to ask. I need all the prayer I can get, so thank you.
And so Father, thank you that you're with us. Yeah. Thank you for these 11 years. Mm. Thank you, Father, for the lives that have been changed just through the encounter with love that we've been able to facilitate on this platform. Thank you. It's your faithfulness and your goodness and your kindness. And you just want to be made known. You just want us to know you, who you really are. And Father, we just ask this evening that you would cover all the technical problems and issues and keep this going. Father, you'd speak through Barry, particularly as he shares, just to kick off. But Father, may the cry of our heart be satisfied. Not as we hear words, but as we see and meet with our glorious Father, the perfect Father, the one who gave up everything in order to be a Father to us. And so, Father, we just open our hearts for that encounter with you this evening. And we just bless you, Father. Thank you for your goodness and kindness. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, mate. That's great. Appreciate it. I'll let you know when I'm ready to, when I've kind of run out of things to say. Actually, it's probably not that much. But Mark and I were talking about how to wrap up 11 years, you know. And of course, I know it's another live stream, but I always find in these times when there's a kind of a marker or milestone, it's just something that, it's not like one message is more important than the other, but it's kind of a nice, I feel this topic, show us the Father, the heart cry, is really something that to me is a kind of a big picture message that Mark and I want to talk about. And Mark's going to come on in a bit after I just kind of have my opening thoughts and see where we go. And of course, when we talk about this, we're referring to John 14:8, I believe it was Philip that said to Jesus the words, "Show us the Father." And I just want to kind of just give a little bit of background about those words at that time in the context of what was happening. And of course, if we read from John chapter 13 to John chapter 17, this is basically the last day of Jesus' life on planet Earth before he went to the cross. And so, we know that, kind of in the last moments of somebody's life are very, very significant. If, if they're aware of that, they're going to pass away. The things they say are very, very significant and meaningful. And I think, I would encourage everybody, when you get a chance in your devotions, maybe just spend some time and just listen or read John 13 to 17. And of course, John 13, it starts with the Last Supper. And I just love this when Jesus was about to wash his disciples' feet in verse 13. In verse 3, it just describes, it's like a culmination of what was happening in the heart of Jesus with his Father. And it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. And then he took off his outer garments and then he began to wash the disciples' feet. But those words that knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and he was going back to God, it was the very essence of that relationship that Jesus had with his Father that gave him the ability to take on the lowliest position of a servant, And from what I understand in the culture of the day, that washing somebody's feet was a very, very lowly position. Even servants would try to find an even lower servant to do those things. But Jesus, because he knew he came from the Father and he was returning to the Father, he just had this absolute freedom to be able to humble himself and to model love in a way that just set the stage for the Last Supper together and the communion that they had together. And of course, at the end of the chapter 13, we really, Jesus' heart's heavy because he knows that Judas is going to betray him. And he says something to his disciples. And again, this prepares the disciples for even chapter 14. And when he says in verse 31, "Now is the man glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him himself and glorify him at once." And then he says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you." And it's just this beautiful, just this beautiful experience, this tender-hearted relationship that Jesus had even right up to the very end with his Father, and that God was glorified in him in the what he was going to do. And then he said in verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You're also to love one another. And so this is the table, the Lord's table, the Last Supper, where, you know, this incredible intimacy with the Father, and the intimacy that he had with his friends, even Judas, who was there, and his heart was troubled because Jesus' heart was troubled because he knew that Judas was going to betray him. Even that, you know, just totally just burdened the heart of Jesus. And then we go on to John chapter 14, and this is kind of where I just want to read John chapter 14, a few verses. And so this is right after Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Little children, I'm not going to be with you much longer. So there's this beautiful, tender-hearted moment that Jesus has with his disciples. And then he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way, and you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And then in verse 6, it's a much quoted verse that, you know, Mark and I share about, and anybody in the Father Heart Ministries shares about, is this, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so, you know, Jesus is speaking of a destination, that he is the way, but the Father is the destination. And then he goes on to say, if you had known me, you would have also known my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And so this is where Philip says, and this is where the context of today's topic is. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And, you know, what we've been doing, you know, like with this revelation of the Father's love, and we're in our 23rd year sharing the Father's love letter, you know, with this kind of this phenomenon that kind of took me by surprise in January 1999. And since that time, it's kind of gone around the world on the internet. And, you know, we've heard, you know, from, you know, thousands of stories. The Father's love letter has been, you know, watched millions of times. It's been delivered door to door in entire countries, and it's in over 120 languages on our website. It's, you know, been broadcast on TV and radio worldwide. And I just believe that, you know, the older I get and the more stories I hear, I really believe the cry of the human heart is when Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And, you know, it will satisfy us. That's what we need. And, you know, all of the stories that we've heard over the years, all the testimonies of the Father's love letter, it just reinforces that the foundational need that every person has in their heart is to be fathered by God, that we came from him. God is our true Father. And that Jesus came to bring a restoration to our relationship with him. And I'm so thankful that when Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it will be enough, Jesus' answer in verse 9 was this: have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. So, you know, when we understand this beautiful, compassionate dialogue that Jesus has with his disciples, and you know, he's calming their hearts. He knows he's going to the cross, and he's trying to set their hearts at rest. And he wants to encourage them that I'm going away to prepare a place for you in my Father's house so that you will be with me where I am. And of course, then, they're going, we don't know where you're going. But he said, but I am the way to the Father. And Jesus came, to actually proclaim, I really believe that the gospel message, when we talk about preaching the gospel, is that, and I've heard James Jordan say this, that the Bible is a story of a father who lost his kids in the garden and a son who came to get his back. And, Jesus came to bring us home. He is the way to the Father. He came to be a manifestation of the Father. And so, when we think about just this idea of the foundational cry that we have, we were all created to experience a fathering love and a mothering love that comes from the parental heart of God himself. And that is where, I believe that so many times when people have father wounds and mother wounds and those things just can stir up in people's hearts the struggle to open their heart up to God as a father, that Jesus is safe because he's the friend of sinners, and the Holy Spirit is safe because he's our comforter and our equipper and our teacher. But the Father, that name Father can have so much baggage with it, right? Because it without the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit, it brings out, the only way that we can even, our default settings is to be able to try to relate to God through the paradigm of how were we loved by a father? How were we loved by a mother? But I truly believe with the Father's love letter, one of the things that it's been very, very interesting in this journey for me is that it has been an amazing evangelistic message. We talk about the love of God and it really does proclaim the gospel. If you watch the Father's love letter sometime, you'll see that it's the expression of the Father wanting to be reconciled with his kids through Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19 and 20, Paul writes that God was actually in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against him. So, just the very sense of the gospel plan, for redemption of humanity, the reconciliation to the Father was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that were all in union of heart. And of course, Jesus said, the works I do are not my works. They're the works of him who sent me. I don't come in my own authority. I come in the authority of the Father. And so with this revelation, and of course, with 23 years of in our 23rd year of sharing the Father's love letter, we've heard all kinds of stories of people actually coming into the kingdom. I was just looking at one email that I got back in, and I'm just looking at the date. It was January 13th, 2009, from a ministry in France called topchretien.com. And they started a web outreach to an evangelistic outreach in 2005 with the help of Campus Crusade for Christ. And they used two of their main evangelistic tools was a video called Interview with God. And then, of course, the Father's Love Letter. And they had over a four-year period, they had over 10 million visitors come to their website. And they wanted to email me on this date. And I still have the email, and I read it again today. And they were celebrating their 1 millionth conversion in 4 years, people coming to Christ through this revelation of knowing a God as a loving Father. So, when we think about the cry of the human heart, when we know that we were all created to experience the love of God and that Jesus came to bring us home, I believe it's like, I don't know of anything that fast tracks a person to the very core of their heart than being when they can be in touch with the love deficit they've had. That's one of the things that I so appreciated with Jack Winter. And, oftentimes when he would minister to somebody, he would say, tell me about your relationship with your father. And, if people are honest and they're able to be in touch with the disappointment or the wounding or the just the hurt that's there, and, you know, the disconnection from being loved. And then it just seems like it's an absolute gateway into their heart, right? And then to be able to really share the good news of Jesus saying, well, you know, that father that you wished you had, God the Father is that father to you, and Jesus died on a cross to bring you home. So, you know, when we talk about this idea of even evangelism, I just believe that every person on planet Earth was created to experience love, and that the love that you and I were intended to experience was as a love that comes from God. And of course, our parents were the first contact that God designed that we would be in touch with the maternal love of God, the paternal love of God, the parental heart of God himself was meant to be expressed through healthy, loved parents who could love their children. But of course, because of the fall and from Adam and Eve to every generation since then, there has been a disconnect from the healthy parental love. And of course, the love that we've received, you know, it's like a continuum. It's on a sliding scale. Some of us have, you know, had parents who were able to love us, you know, in greater measures than others. But the reality is the cry of the human heart, what you and I were created to experience, is the love that comes from the Father. And so there is no question in my mind that I believe that that is the cry of the human heart, that each and every one of us, it was created to be loved by the Father. And when Philip said those words, show us the Father and it will be enough, I believe he was articulating in his own being the cry that's in each and every person. And so, you know, my encouragement is, you know, if you are have a heart of an evangelist, or if you, you know, you know evangelists, that like just to encourage them that when we are able to bring a connection between the need to be loved by parents and the love that God wants to give us and has given us through Jesus, it just seems to, I really believe it's a powerful way for us to really share the gospel. Because that's, in my mind, John 20, verse 17, when Jesus rose from the dead, he bumps into Mary in the garden. The resurrection message was this. He said, I have a message for my brother. He says, go tell my brothers that I'm returning to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. So, you know, and I think, you know, as we wrap up these 11 years of webcasts and get ready for the 12th year in September, I just encourage you to think about that. You know, what does it mean? Like, where do you see that? Like, where do you see the Father cry? You know, for me, I'm always, you know, if I'm watching movies, I'm always looking for the Father cry. There are so many movies that, you know, secular movies that, you know, beautifully express this desire to be fathered and to be loved with a perfect love, even though the people who are writing them and producing them, they may not know what they're actually looking for. But I truly believe that that is the foundational cry. And I am so thankful for Jesus, that he was the image of the invisible God. He was the exact representation of his being, that Jesus was love personified on planet Earth, and everything that he did was a manifestation of the Father. Even in John 13, when he washed his disciples' feet, he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. See, that's the kind of dad that you and I have, a Father who loves us with an everlasting love, and a big brother, Jesus, who died on a cross and rose again so we could experience his fathering love for all of eternity. So, Mark, that's my opening comments. You could come back on.
Brilliant. Thank you, Barry.
And I'll pass it on to you. What do you think, mate?
Yeah, I love this passage in John 14. Thomas and Philip are my heroes because they ask the questions that all the other disciples wanted to ask, but thought they would look stupid if they asked them. You know what it's like sometimes? You're sitting there with a question and you think, I don't dare ask this question because everybody will think I'm stupid. And Thomas and Philip do it for us in this passage. I remember that the first time I went to Uganda back in 1995, I was, now this is good. This is, you know, please don't laugh at me. Okay. This is, I'm just sharing it as it was. Okay. You probably all know this, you guys, but so please, you know, don't laugh and, you know, whatever. Barry, no laughing, please. But I was in Uganda and I was there and I saw pineapples growing for the first time in my life. And I always thought up until that point in time that pineapples grew on trees. And they don't, they grow on these plants in the ground. And I was sitting there and I was traveling around Uganda and I think, oh, I've got this wrong. You know, I always thought they were on trees like apples or pears or whatever. And you pick them and there was your pineapple. But here they were growing out of the ground. So I thought, I'm not going to say anything because I bet everybody else knows that pineapples grow on the ground and not on trees. And I thought, if I say something, I'm going to look, you know, I'm the leader of this group. I've got these school kids, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm just going to look really, really stupid if I say, I thought pineapples grow on trees. Halfway through the week, one of the kids said, we were saying, what's impacted you this week, you see, in Uganda? And one of the kids, one of the teenage kids said, I know this is silly, she said, but the thing that's really impacted me this week is pineapples don't grow on trees. And I said, oh, I'm so glad you said that, because I really thought they grew on trees too. You see, it was like the question that I didn't dare ask because I thought everybody's going to think I'm stupid. And, you know, Barry, you can think Mark's stupid. You know, we all know pineapples don't grow on trees, but I honestly thought they grew on trees. But Thomas and Philip, they nail it in this passage. You know, Jesus starts off the passage, my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, then I'll come back and take you with me. And I think all of the disciples were going, what is he talking about? You know, it's like, and they were kind of thinking, well, I hope he says it first, you know. And Peter, who's the man, you know, he won't dare open his mouth on this point because he hasn't got a clue what Jesus is talking about. And he's, you know, I'm not going to be the one who raises the question. And John and James, you know, Andrew, these other guys, they're not going to raise the question. But Thomas, you know, dear old Thomas, he just goes, excuse me, we don't know what you're talking about. You know, the guy is so honest. He just comes out and says, Jesus, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Where are you going? You know, we don't know where you're going. Where are you going? How can we know the way? You know, and I think all the other disciples thought, thank you, Thomas. I'm glad you said that. You know? And Jesus then, because if Thomas hadn't asked that question, Jesus wouldn't have said, I am the way, the truth and the life. You know, that amazing scripture we would not have got if Thomas hadn't put his hand up and said, sorry, Jesus, I haven't got a clue what you're on about. And Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I always see, you know, if you really knew me, you'd know the Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you've seen him. And to me, it's like, I think the disciples are still going, what? You know, what? We've been with this guy for 3 years and like, what? And Philip, I think Philip says, I think Philip gets a revelation. And he gets the revelation that all the other disciples wish they'd got. Yeah. Because Philip says, oh, it's all about the Father. Jesus, I knew you'd come to us for something, you know. This is great, you know, it's all about the Father. And I think Philip gets this amazing revelation. He says, oh, it's about the Father, I've got it. And Jesus kind of goes, well, at least one of them's got it, you know. And then Philip says, show us the Father and that will be enough. And I always feel slightly sorry for Philip with Jesus's response, you know, because Philip's had this amazing revelation. You know, they've been with Jesus for 3 years. And on the last night when Jesus is with them, it's like they still haven't quite got it. And Thomas puts his hand up and says, Jesus, we really don't know what you're talking about. And Philip gets his revelation, and Jesus says, yeah, he's like, oh, show me the Father. And Jesus says, well, haven't you seen me? And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I think poor old Philip says, what? <It's> like, yeah. And Philip doesn't, you know, Jesus says, how can you say, show it? Jesus says to Philip, how can you say, show us the Father? And I think Philip's going, well, I was trying, you know. I was getting this revelation. And then Jesus, of course, explains it. And, you know, I think it's in John 16. So it's only a little bit later on in the meal. The disciples are talking to each other. They're hoping Jesus isn't listening. And the disciples are talking together saying, you know, why on earth does he talk to us in riddles? You know, why won't he make it simple for us? You know, and it's like, oh, come on, Jesus. We know you're trying to say something, but we just don't get it. And then Jesus, I mean, I find it such a funny encounter because the disciples are going, do you know what he's saying? Do you know what he's on about? You know, and it's like, and they just don't get it. And Jesus says to them, look, guys, I've made it possible for you to go directly to the Father. John 16, verse 23 and 26, I think it is. I've made it possible for you to go directly to the Father. You know, you can go to the Father on your own. You know, and the reason you can do this, John 16, verse 27, is because the Father himself loves you. And then do you know what the disciples say? The disciples then say, now we get it. You know, now, let me just read it to you because it's hilarious. I mean, the disciples said to Jesus, now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. And Jesus must go, thank goodness, I'm just about to go to the cross. I'm just about to die. At last, you know, talk about 11th hour, 59th minute, 59th second. The disciples say, oh, this is what the last 3 years has been about. Now you're speaking clearly. Now we see that you know all things and that you don't need to ask. You don't need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. And Jesus says, do you now believe? And it's like, phew. Yeah. And, you know, I read these verses. We have a little bit of a laugh about it, but that's what we're like, isn't it? You know, it's yeah. Like, Jesus, what are you on about? What are you really trying to say? And we get this revelation and it's like, oh yeah, it's all about the Father. And then Jesus says, yeah, I've been telling you that for 3 years. And you go, oh, okay. And I just love the response in John 16 when they start off by saying, you know, the disciples said to one another, what's he on about? You know, what does he mean by this? We don't understand what he's saying. And then they get the revelation and then they see. And you know, when you get a revelation and when you see something you've never seen, you cannot unsee it. You cannot unsee it. And I know, you know, many of you who are watching the webcast today, many of you have been with us over these 11 years. I know that you've seen it. And I know that you've seen something that you can't unsee. But that doesn't mean we've seen the fullness of everything. You know, what we have seen so far is like it draws us in to see more. And, you know, Barry's just explained so wonderfully the impact the Father's love letters had on the world, really. You know, just people coming to the Father because of that simple love letter that Barry wrote by the Holy Spirit. You know, amazing. You know, it is a really, really amazing evangelistic tool. You know, and I think when we all get to heaven and people that we're wandering around meeting people, there's going to be countless people that come up to Barry and say it was because of the Father's love letter. you know, that I'm here. And I just think, you know, wow, Barry, you know, what you've done with that is just wonderful. And I just believe there's going to be a whole load more of that. You know, we're going to see more of that. But I really believe that for us, that we've seen something, you know, we've seen something of the Father. That's why we're here. That's why we give up our Wednesday evenings. That's why we come here instead of watching the football. Because we've got something, we've caught hold of something in our hearts. And I don't want us to stop. You know, just as this is a huge evangelistic tool, show us the Father and it'll be okay. I believe it's the cry of our hearts too. Yeah. You know, we've seen the Father and we've encountered him. We've met his love. We know what it is to have our lives changed. We know what it is to leave the orphan-hearted ways behind. We know what it is to begin to walk in sonship. But I guess, you know, what I just want to add, Barry, is that the cry of our hearts is, Father, I want to see more of you. You know, show me more of yourself. Show me more of yourself. Take me deeper into this revelation, this relationship. May I trust you more. May I know you more. May I be more deeply rooted and grounded in love. You know, may the roots of my life go deeper into love. And this cry, you know, I think I'm still a bit like Philip and Thomas. You know, it's like, you know, I still sort of go, what? And the Father is so gracious that he reveals more of himself. And then I go, oh yeah, now I see, now I know, now I understand, now my heart sees and understands. And so I suppose my encouragement for us over this summer period is to come to that place like the disciples. Now you're speaking clearly, now I get it, that there's something deeper that the Father wants each one of us to get, and each one of us to receive in our hearts, that we see more of what the Father's like. We know him better. We understand his ways more and more. And maybe even in that process of understanding his ways, we give over more of our heart to him. Maybe those places that still wounded, still hurt, still shut away, we just say, Father, I can trust you with this bit of my heart now. And my prayer over this summer is that we see more of him and just enjoy the fullness of that intimate relationship much more.
Yeah, no, I say a big amen to that. Everything you said, I loved how you expressed Thomas and Philip, because really, in John 14, it is a bit comical when you think about, you know, how they expressed that, and of course how Jesus kind of got a little bit frustrated. How long have I been with you guys? You don't get it yet.
And it's the last night. It's like, come on, it's right up to the wire. The parallel is it's going to penalties.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, then there you're bringing in an analogy for football, so yeah, which is appropriate.
You've had the extra time, and we're going to penalties, and no one likes a penalty shootout.
And I think, you know, for me, I think when we begin to understand, like at least for me, when we begin to realize that we were all created, humanity was created to be fathered by God. This is the cry of the human heart. We all came from him, and that he entrusted our care to our parents until the time when we could know him as Father.
Yes.
And when, like for me, it begins to realize, you know, you begin to, like, in culture, in the language of media and movies and songs, and you begin to see it everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we've ever wanted, is to be loved with that parental love that flows from eternity. And of course, you know, understanding the heart of Jesus has always been. It's never like it wasn't like I know his disciples got it on the last night at the last hour, but it was like he was always coming to bring a revelation of his Father. And I even think, you know, how in 2 Corinthians 5, and I mentioned it, that, you know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not counting men's sins against him. The Bible, it goes on to say that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, that you and I and every believer, every son and daughter on planet Earth, that we have been entrusted. We are ambassadors of Christ.
Yeah.
And the actual mission of sons and daughters to Yahweh is to be able to proclaim the good news that God's not angry. He loves you. You know, Jesus died to bring you home, to be completely reconciled. So, you know, it's amazing when you think, like, you can't be reconciled with somebody that you've never met.
Yeah.
Because the word reconciliation implies a prior relationship, and the relationship that we have with the Father, it flows from before the foundations of the earth, when he saw us in it, when he his longing and his desire was that we would be a part of his family. And so, yeah, I guess, you know, for me, with the journey that we've been on, and of course, you know how I feel about the Father's love letter. It was God's letter. I was, you know, maybe he used me as the pen, but, you know, and it's like, you know, the champions in my mind over the years who have shared are the people who have shared this message, who have given a Father's love letter, that, you know, they've created websites, they've done things to be able to be that minister of reconciliation to other people. So I think they're the heroes. But, you know, I just, to me, at the end of the day, it's just about a father.
Yeah.
It's just an example of a father who lost his kids in the garden,
yeah,
and he wants them back. And Jesus came to reconcile us to his heart. So, yeah, I just think, I'm with you, mate. Show us the Father, it'll be enough. I'm growing in that. I'm, you know, I can identify with Thomas and Philip more than anybody else in that, for sure. But the beauty of that, his mercies are new every morning, and that we're, the calling of the Christian life is to be transformed from one degree of glory to the next.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just getting closer and closer and more aware of the aha revelation that Jesus died to bring us into that. The Father himself is you.
Yeah.
Wow. So good.
Well, my friend, we know you give a shout out to all the people who've done the stuff with the Father's love letter, but we're giving a shout out to you, my friend. So anyway, why don't we just pray?
Yeah.
And bless our friends who are with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Father, may we always have that childlike heart that longs for more, that we'd never be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd always want to get to know you more and live in more of the fullness of your love. And Father, I just ask that over this summer break, as we just take a bit of time, hopefully a bit quieter, a bit more at rest, that we could just ask that question, or we can make that declaration. Show us the Father. And it will be enough. May we just come to you and say, Father, show yourself. Show yourself to me more. Reveal yourself to me in a greater way, in a deeper way. Father, just ask, Father, that each one of us would have encounters with you, daily encounters with you, like manna in the desert, just new mercies, new freshness, new glances of what you're really like, and that the sense, the knowledge, the experience of you being a father to us would be birthed in our hearts in a deeper way. Father, I just ask that you would deal with you would lift off any uncertainty or any doubt that people have about you, of who you are or what you want to be. Father, I just ask that you would lift that doubt, you'd just lift it off them, Father, and they would see clearly. Like the disciples, now we see clearly, now we get it. Yeah. Father, may that be our experience. Yeah. Now I get it, now I see. Mm-hmm. That we would see you in a deeper, more intimate way. And Father, that there would be joy and peace and rest that follows those encounters. Mm. So I just ask, Father, for your blessing, the fullness of your love for all of your children. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, Father, we thank you that you really are our true Father. We came from you, and Jesus came to reconcile us back to your heart. And And Father, we ask that there would be a restoration of this revelation globally in the heart of every person who was created by you and for a relationship with you, and that we would see the gospel in a way that is right and true, and that Jesus came to bring us home to our dad. And I just pray, Father, that, you know, even in our own hearts, Father, anybody who's watching this or watching afterwards, Father, that may struggle to actually see what you're like, Father, I pray that there would be a connecting of the dots, so to speak, where we would see you in Jesus.
Yeah.
That Jesus is the exact representation of your being, the image of the invisible God, and that everything that Jesus did on planet Earth was a manifestation of you. If you've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. So, Father, I just pray that even, you know, if there's, we've had father woundings in our life and mother woundings in our life, and if fathers and the parental love has not been a safe thing for us, Father, I pray that we would even just have the grace to say to Jesus in our own hearts, Jesus, would you show us the Father? Yeah. Now that he would just bring a manifestation, and that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son, would bear witness with our spirits that we are children of God and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that we would know the Trinitarian love, the fullness of the Father's love and the Son's love and the Holy Spirit's love that was poured out into our hearts, that we would just all just continue to grow in this revelation. And Father, I pray that every prodigal son and daughter would return home. I pray, Father, for every orphan-hearted person who feels like they're abandoned and rejected and outside of the house. Father, I just pray that there would be an awakening globally for this revelation of your love, and that there would be a reconnecting and an understanding to what we were created to experience, and that is to be fathered by you, to be loved by you, to be your kids. As Jesus said, a slave has no permanent place in a family, but a son belongs forever.
Yeah.
Well, Father, thank you that you want us to come into a deeper revelation of love than we want to. Yeah. We don't have to strive for it. We don't have to work for it. Father, the work of God is just to believe on Jesus. That's it. Well, easy peasy. So thank you, Father.
Yeah.
The beautiful simplicity of your love in your heart.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Father. Yeah.
Well, that wraps up 11 years, mate.
11 years, yeah.
If I went high five, okay, I'm going, I guess, high five. Okay, can you put your hand to the screen? High five.
High five.
Are you doing it? High five. We did it.
We did it, and we will be back on the 8th of September. Have a great summer, everybody.
Yes, thank you, everybody, for joining us, and we see the encouraging words in the comments, and of course we're always surprised that you would want to join us again, and we just need to have a blessed summer and see you in September.
Yeah, and just in case you're interested, it's half time and it's 1-1.
Wow.
So you can now go and watch the second half. Goodbye, everyone. All right,
see you, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.